You can be sure there'll be misunderstandings and disputes from time to time in our dealings with others. Pastor John Randall on how best to handle them as they arise.
There needs to be a willingness by both parties involved to listen to one another. So often, if we will listen and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, if we will remain humble, if we'll remain teachable, operating in the gift of the Spirit, known as self-control, misunderstandings can be mended. Even disputes can be diffused.
Maybe like many, you would readily admit that you resist change. Whether it's moving across country, leaving a job, getting into a new routine, change is not easy, but sometimes it's necessary. Today on A Daily Walk, we open Acts chapter 11. The gospel is now going out to the Gentiles for the first time, and this was a big time change in that day. And as you might have guessed, there was some resistance and challenges along the way. I'll let Pastor John Randall take it from there.
Acts chapter 11, and this morning I want to draw your attention. We will begin in the first four verses of Acts chapter 11. In verse 1, "Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, 'You went in to uncircumcised men and you ate with them.' But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning." It has been said that change is not easy, but at times it is necessary. If you live life long enough, you will come to realize that change is inevitable. Most of us do not mind change as long as it does not involve us. Many people like consistency. They like routine. They like familiarity. Our culture has coined phrases like "my comfort zone," "my happy place." Those words define a place that we feel safe, that won't change, it's without stress, a place that we are hesitant to leave because we know, or at least we think we know, what is outside of it. But when something comes into your life that you're unfamiliar with or that you do not understand, you can find yourself not only being hesitant, but also resistant. I read a thought-provoking question concerning openness, flexibility, and the willingness to take steps of faith. And this was the question, quote, "When was the last time you did something for the first time?" The early church in the book of Acts went through a season of change, and it was completely necessary. For years, the church had been reluctant to take the message of the gospel to the Gentile world. And this tragic oversight may have partially been due to a lack of understanding of the Great Commission, that it was for all people in every nation. But it was most certainly due to a long-standing prejudice between the Jews and the Gentiles. You see, the Gentiles were from a completely different culture. So many of them were idolaters. They were debased sinners. They spoke a different language. They lived a different life. And to the Jew, the question was, did Jesus really come to die for Gentiles so that they could be saved? And the answer to that, of course, is absolutely. The Apostle Peter came to this realization in Acts chapter 10 when he was given the opportunity to open the door to the Gentiles to be saved, which in turn paved the way for the rest of the Gentiles. And when you come to Acts chapter 11, we see another reiteration of chapter 10 or what took place in chapter 10. And there may be the tendency for some to skip over chapter 11, thinking that it is nothing more than a rerun that you have already seen or already read. However, the Holy Spirit saw fit to record it more than once, and not just for the sake of being redundant. Repetition is the best teacher, and apparently there is something that we need to hear more than once, and thus it is repeated. Peter had experienced a change in his understanding concerning the will of God for the church. But the church in Jerusalem that was predominantly, completely Jewish in nature needed to also come to that understanding of God's heart for the Gentiles. And what we're going to discover this morning is that it was not easy, but long-lasting change never is. And so we begin this morning, number one, in verses 1-3, with a dispute over the ministry, a dispute over the ministry. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went in to uncircumcised men and ate with them." The Bible does not say how long it was that Peter stayed in Caesarea with the centurion whose name was Cornelius and his family. But it does say that the news traveled back to the church in Jerusalem. They heard about what was going on there. Therefore, as soon as Peter arrived in the city, he was immediately, it says, confronted by this group in the church called the circumcision, which is a reference to those Jews in the fellowship that were zealous for keeping the law and traditions and preserving Jewish culture at any cost. And therefore, when it says that they contended with Peter, it is a word that meant they passed judgment upon him. It meant to separate oneself in a hostile spirit, to oppose, to strive with, or to dispute. And the reason for their opposition was not over the fact that the Gentiles had received the word. No, they were upset because Peter had eaten a meal with them. You see, the Jewish people were very cautious of who they sat down to a meal with. It was believed that if you sat down to a meal with a sinner and you partook of the same food that they were eating in some mystical way, according to them, you were taking their sins upon yourself. You were becoming unclean, just like they were unclean. So you're very careful about who you invited over for dinner. This was, of course, the understanding during the ministry of Jesus. Do you remember when Jesus would eat with sinners and minister to them? The religious leaders were just ferociously opposed to that. And they said concerning Jesus, "How is it that he eats and he drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" They said in Luke chapter 15, verse 2, the same thing. They said, the scribes complained and they said, "This man receives sinners and," if that's not bad enough, "he eats with them." That was the mentality. And some of that same self-righteous, pharisaical, critical spirit was dwelling within the early church, and it needed to be dealt with. There's a couple of things that I have noticed over the years when it comes to disputes, when it comes to conflicts, when it comes to contentions of this nature. First of all, contention may flare up because a person does not have all of the facts. They are an observer. They are simply aware of some of the things that are going on, but they don't know what goes on behind the scenes necessarily. They don't know what's taking place in that person's life or that situation. They may assume that they know, like the Jewish brethren here in Acts chapter 11. They got part of the story, but not the whole story. And when you don't have all the details and don't have all the facts straight and you don't wait for further information, you can easily jump to conclusions. And then you can become convinced in your own mind that you're right, and you will verbalize it to everybody else, and everybody else believes what you said, even though they haven't heard the other part of the story, until the other part of the story comes and they realize you weren't right. You jump to conclusions. And if that's not bad enough, what follows is you begin to lose sight of what's really important. That's what happened here. The Jews lost sight of what was important. What was important? The Gentiles getting saved. The Gentiles received the word of God. They were born again. Yeah, that's great. What'd you guys have for dinner? I mean, that's what we need to talk about here. So they're not going to hell. What did you eat for dinner over there? Suddenly they're really concerned about something they shouldn't be concerned about. They should be excited and rejoicing over the fact that the Gentiles were saved, but because they were so myopic in their focus, they lost sight of what was really important. What was really important is that they had been converted, that they had been saved. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that it's wrong to investigate something if you're unclear about it, but make sure that when you do so, you come to the proper conclusion because you have heard all of the details of the matter. Following the dispute that arose over the ministry, Peter now gives, secondly, a defense of the ministry. And the explanation that Peter gives is very clear, and it is based upon a number of important facts that had taken place that the church there in Jerusalem was not yet aware of. And so Peter begins his defense of the ministry by recalling to mind a number of things. The first thing that he recalls is the vision that he had. In verse 5, the vision that he had. Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, I was in the city of Joppa and I was praying. And in a trance, I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. And when I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. Peter shared with the church the vision that he had received from the Lord, and he goes back to the beginning, where it all started, and he communicated what it was that took place. He talks about he was in a time of prayer. He was waiting on the Lord. And while he was waiting on the Lord, that is when God imparted to him a vision. That's when he received it. When did he receive the vision? In prayer, waiting on the Lord. Let me just say something and pause there for a moment. I think it is important. If you want to receive a vision from the Lord, if you want to hear from the Lord, you need to take time to wait to receive it. Some people are just so active and so busy, they never take time to actually sit down and hear what it is that God wants to say to them because they're too busy trying to figure out what God wants to say to them. But they don't take time to sit and listen, and God will impart the truth to them. Peter was in prayer, he was waiting on the Lord, and that is when God spoke to him. But I also find as Peter began to explain this vision, he goes back to the very beginning in order to clearly communicate the details. When it comes to clear communication, in order to clear up misunderstandings, there needs to be a willingness by both parties involved to listen to one another. So often, if we will listen and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, if we will remain humble, if we'll remain teachable, operating in the gift of the Spirit, known as self-control, misunderstandings can be mended. Even disputes can be diffused. When we communicate, it can be difficult for us to see the other person's perspective. Husbands, wives, get an amen. You know what I'm talking about. We see things from our own vantage point and not the other person's. And we want to be absolutely sure that we are understood. And if we feel like we are not understood, or we assume we understand when we don't, there can be a problem. But if we are willing to listen, to dialogue, filled with the Spirit, not in the flesh, that is when God can work. Maybe that's a word for some here today. Peter not only shares about the vision that he had, but in his defense, he secondly speaks of the voice that he heard. Look at verse 7. And I heard a voice saying to me, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And I said, "Not so, Lord. Nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth." But the voice answered me again. Notice, from heaven, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Now, this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. The vision that Peter had was strange enough. But when he heard what he heard. It was even more unexpected. "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter immediately responded with, "Not so, Lord." We made note of the fact that you can say "not so" and "Lord," but you can't say "not so, Lord." That doesn't work. "Nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth." Peter, up to this point in his life, had never defiled himself with anything that was non-kosher. He had meticulously kept the dietary laws. But even though Peter was initially resistant to the voice, he heard it say, "What I have cleansed, you are not supposed to call common." Now you remember that after Peter saw this vision and heard this voice, he did not understand right away what it was that the Lord was seeking to reveal to him. But as Peter walked in obedience, one step at a time, the vision became clear. Peter talked about the vision he had, the voice that he heard, but the third thing that he points out in the defense of his ministry were the visitors that he housed. Look at verse 11. "At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea." Peter recalls that as he was in deep thought, questioning what all of these things meant, right at that very moment when he was thinking about it, that is when the Lord sent three men from Caesarea, and Peter was told by the Spirit at that moment to go with them and to doubt nothing. The Bible tells us after he came down from the rooftop, he introduced himself to the men, allowed them to stay the night there with them in Joppa, and then traveled with them the next day unto Caesarea. It was all of these things that led Peter then to take a step of faith. But I wonder, have you ever been in a place where you've been seeking the Lord and the Lord speaks to you in that moment or not long after that moment when you had a question and it just came to you? Let me explain how this works from time to time. Maybe you've experienced. I wish I could say it happened to me every day. It doesn't. But there are days when it does. You go to the Lord in prayer in the morning and you rise up and there's things on your heart. And you're just praying and you're bringing them before the Lord, before his attention. "Lord, I need you to speak to me today about this. Lord, this is a critical moment. I really need to hear from you on this subject. Can you please use the word and use circumstances and use whatever you want to use to help me to understand?" You ever done that and then opened your Bible you're just reading through. It's not like you went, "All right, Lord, just blow it wherever you want it to blow. And no, do another one." It's not like that kind of a thing. It's actually, you just happen to be reading through the Bible and you come to a particular passage of scripture and right where you are reading that day is exactly what you need to hear at that moment. And there is the tendency when that happens to think, "Oh no, that couldn't be the Lord. That's not for me. That's not the Lord." No, it is the Lord. You asked and he answered. And then you get into the car and you turn on your radio and a Bible study comes on. It's the same verse. You're like, "Oh, this is weird. Is this like God doing that?" And then you show up at church. You come to church and the passage is the same passage. "Okay, Lord, I get it. It's you. I respond." You know, Peter, that's what was happening to him. He's asking, he's seeking, he's waiting. And in that moment when he needed to hear, God said, through the Spirit of God said, "This is what I want you to do." And so Peter began to follow. This vision he had, this voice that he heard, these visitors that came led him to the next step as he recalls the venture of faith that he took. And it was a venture of faith, folks. In verse 12, "Then the Spirit told me, go with them doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me. We entered the man's house, and he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, 'Send men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you the words by which you and all your household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning." When Peter arrived in the centurion's home, Cornelius fell to his knees and began to worship Peter, Acts 10 tells us. And Peter immediately picked him up and reminded him that he was only a man and was not to be worshiped. Cornelius then told Peter why it was that he had sent for him, how an angel had informed him that Peter was going to come and tell he and his household how they were to be saved. And so in light of that, Peter begins to speak. He just opens up his mouth, just very simply begins to share the message of the gospel. And when he speaks, the Holy Spirit falls. And in that moment, those that were there were baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit in the same way that the Jews had been baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit back in Acts chapter 2, although these were Gentiles. Peter gives a defense as he talks about the vision God gave him, the voice that spoke to him, the visitors that were sent to him, the venture of faith that he took. But finally, in his defense, he testified to the church about a verse that he remembered, a verse that he remembered in verse 15. He said, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then," look at this, "I remembered." What did he remember? "I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us, when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand the Lord?" Peter, in his defense, said, "There was a verse that I remembered as the Spirit was being poured out, and it was very obvious that the Lord was working. I suddenly remembered the words of Jesus. Jesus was going to baptize with the Spirit and with fire. John came and he baptized with water." Baptism in water is identifying with Jesus in his death and resurrection. Every Christian should be baptized. If you've never been baptized, you should be. It's the outward demonstration of your faith in Christ, going into the water, identifying him with him in his death and resurrection. But when the Bible speaks of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is a baptism that Jesus performed. Forms, where the Spirit of God is poured out upon you and you have power to be his witness. Jesus is doing the baptizing. But as Peter is ministering in the home of Cornelius in the name of the Lord brings back to mind a verse. In other words, Peter was able to authenticate the ministry by the word of God. What he was doing was valid and legitimate because it was based upon the word of God. And what we do in the name of the Lord should be based upon the word of God. We should be able to look back chapter and verse and say, this is why we're doing what we're doing. We didn't just come up with this on our own. This is something the Lord has shown us. And Peter was reminded of the word of the Lord that made it clear to him that this was indeed the right thing to do. And when Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, now facing this dispute, he gives a clear defense, which in turn, listen carefully, brought Peter and the rest of the church in Jerusalem to a definitive moment. A definitive moment. It is seen there in verse 17 when Peter says, "If therefore," this is his conclusion, this is defining, "if therefore God gave them," the Gentiles, "the same gift that he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus, who was I that I could withstand God?" In other words, Peter realized through this experience that if the Lord did for the Gentiles what he had done for the Jews, then he wasn't going to stand in the way of God working. And the word for withstand here means I'm not going to hinder, I'm not going to prevent, I'm not going to forbid or refuse them from receiving the same thing that we received by faith. It would be wrong for me to withstand God. Acts chapter 2 is now repeated in Acts chapter 10. The only difference is this time it was with Gentiles. The Gentiles received the same salvation and the same power of the Holy Spirit. And it was as though Peter were saying, "I know this doesn't fit into your theological box, but it looks as though God is doing a brand new work and I want to be a part of it." And the church in Jerusalem bore witness to that and they also wanted to be a part of it. And thus in verse 18, it says, "When they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God saying, 'Then,'" here it is, "'God has also granted the Gentiles repentance of life.'" This is a major turning point in the book of Acts.
You've been listening to A Daily Walk with our pastor and teacher, John Randall. It's a ministry of Calvary Chapel, San Juan Capistrano. We're going through Acts at the present time, and you can order a CD copy of today's message for a cost of just $5 at adailywalk.org or by calling 888-253-1280 or listen online at adailywalk.org. You can find Pastor John on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, you can follow him at PJRandall7 and on Instagram at Pastor John Randall. What a privilege it is to be able to talk to God anytime and anywhere. But what should you pray about? Now, that's a struggle for many of us, isn't it? Today, we'd like to share a book that can help, authored by Pastor Chuck Smith. It's called Effective Prayer Life. Take your prayer life to a whole new level as you read this short but powerful book. We'll send you a copy for a cost of $5. Request this online at adailywalk.org or call 888-253-1280. 1280. As we continue to get the word out on stations like this all across the nation, we would appreciate your support. We're hearing from people quite frequently that are being helped in their daily walk through the teaching of the Word, and your gift serves to make this possible. You can donate online at adailywalk.org or call us at 888-253-1280. We also love receiving listener letters and emails. So let us know what God is up to in your daily walk. It would make our day. Write to us today by email at adailywalk@gmail.com or by mail to A Daily Walk, 31612 El Camino Real, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92675. And have you had a chance to download the Calvary San Juan Capistrano Church app onto your phone or mobile device? It's free. It's a great way to take the teaching of God's Word with you wherever you go. Look for that in the App Store, Google Play, or Apple TV. Just type in CCSJC to download our app. We'll get right back into Acts next time on A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. We'll see you then.
We'll walk by faith. Well, even when I cannot see, well, because